9 a.m. this morning and will close at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, December 6th.
Good to know. And thank you for everything, Tara. Appreciate the time. Appreciate all you guys and your staff do for our community. Keep up the great work. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds great.
You guys have a great one. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez in New York. All systems are go for the holiday shopping season. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Consumers continued to spend in the month of October despite prices remaining high. The government reported that personal income and spending rose in the month of October. Incomes were up by 0.7% in October, while spending increased by 0.8%.
The number of people who signed up for unemployment benefits came back down last week near levels suggesting the Labor Department's been largely unaffected by the Fed's aggressive interest rate hikes. At the White House last hour, French President Macron and his wife arriving for a state visit, they were greeted by President Biden and the First Lady.
The wellspring of our strength is a shared commitment to liberty and justice for all. Liberté, égalité, fraternité.
Tonight, the Macrons will be toasted at a state dinner. CBS's Dan Lieberman.
The dinner was inspired by the red, white, and blue of both countries' flags. Jill Biden says the menu is an expression of welcome and friendship. New Orleans musician John Baptiste provides the entertainment for the dinner.
President Biden heads to Boston tomorrow to welcome a couple of royals. The Prince and Princess of Wales, William and Kate, are making their first overseas trip since the death of Queen Elizabeth in September.
Catherine and I are absolutely delighted to be with you today.
Their foray focused on recognizing environmental entrepreneurs. At President Biden's request, lawmakers in the House have voted to impose a new contract on rail workers. The Senate votes next. Union leader Peter Kennedy.
I respectfully disagree with him and how he's going about doing this, because what he's doing is taking away the members' right to strike.
The contract does not include 7 days of paid sick leave some unions are demanding. Check out Pepsi's fancy new set of wheels. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert from Detroit.
Pepsi getting truck number one of the 100 Tesla semis that it ordered. The semi was originally scheduled to go into production 3 years ago. CEO Elon Musk hoping to ramp up production quickly from here. Companies can get up to $40,000 in federal incentives when they buy an electric semi.
Practice driving on a computer may help teenagers with ADHD focus on the road. Dr. Jeffrey Epstein led this simulation study at Cincinnati Children's Hospital.
This is an intervention that we hope teens will use to make themselves better drivers.
Research shows young drivers with attention deficit disorder are twice as likely to be involved in car accidents as neurotypical teenagers. Dow down 78. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Daytime highs approaching 31 this afternoon under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 26. Daytime highs approaching 43. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 20. Saturday, under sunny skies. 33 Sunday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 15.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR.
It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this December 1st, 2022. You have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. It is 10:05 on the clock. And at 10:30, we're going to welcome in Allison Johnjack. She is the Cranberry Outreach Specialist with UW Extension. Right now, joining us from Mid-State Technical College, we have Elisa Sullivan joining us. Good morning, Elise.
Good morning, James. How are you?
Doing good over here. How are you doing?
Good.
Good to hear.
Excited to talk about Mid-State and all the fun stuff.
Yeah, we're going to dive right into it, too. Alicia is the Adult Outreach Coordinator and Pathway Navigator at MSTC, and plenty to talk about with you guys. First, before we dive into it, how are things this time of year? I know that some of those classes are winding down, kids kind of getting ready for the end of the semester and moving on to the next. How are things at the campus?
Yeah, things are great. Especially on my team, we had tons of events in October and November. So kind of coming in here in December, things are slowing down. But I've been so busy working with new students to get ready for the spring semester beginning in January. So I've been super busy, which is great. But also our current students, they're studying hard, working hard. They're all over campus in our library studying. So it's been good.
Very good to hear. Elise, we brought you in today to we're going to kind of focus on Winterium. And first up, how do I pronounce that?
Yeah, nice try, James, but we call it Winterium.
Winterium, okay, Winterium.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what Winterium is and what makes it special.
Yeah, so Winterium is pretty much like Christmas break, but we take that time to offer some other classes for students. So it's a short, fast-paced term between the fall and spring semesters. Classes start in early January and normally run from January 3rd to January 19th. We are offering about 47 fast-paced classes to choose from, and you can earn up to 4 credits in 3 weeks. We don't want you to overload yourself, so we kind of limit it at that 4. And there's transfer options to UW system schools, which we can talk about a little bit more once we talk about who this is for. And we have a lot of online classes available, so that is really popular as well, too.
So, and this seems like a bit of a more fast-paced kind of classes.
Exactly, yeah. It's super condensed. Although it is some of those online ones, they are virtual, so it's kind of work at your own pace, but you need to make sure you get your work done in those 3 weeks. But you are busy. You definitely are busy for it. But if you are someone who's goal-orientated and you like quick in and out and a lot of progress, it definitely would be a good fit for you.
Is there any requirements or any kind of things that people should know about with certain specific trades?
Not really, honestly. Anyone can take a class, especially our current students will do it, but we have a lot of students that come from universities, colleges that will take these classes here. So obviously they're already in classes. They have a lot of prerequisites done. They have that good GPA. They've taken classes. So they can go ahead and right away take a class. It's very, very simple to register. But yeah, a returning adult can get started in an academic program. Really any student can get started early for that spring semester and get one class out of the way to lighten your load for the upcoming semester.
Yeah, man, and I really like the sound of that. That is a really cool idea.
Yeah.
So who benefits? Who takes a Winterium class?
Yeah, like I said, really anyone, but we really focus on helping those university students take an extra class to lighten their loads in the semester. Not only is it much cheaper, if you, like I said, like that fast-paced, you're goal-orientated, it's a really good fit for you. But if you're a returning adult wanting to a career change, wanting to get started in an academic program here, it's a great time to just get started in a class. And we have a lot of current students that take advantage of it as well, too.
What kind of certificates are available with this?
Yeah, so not only can you take a class or two, but you can also get started in our Career Accelerator Certificate or even complete an entire one during Winterium, which is crazy. But a few of those certificates that we currently offer, those Career Accelerator Certificates during Winterium, would be Agriculture, Diesel Engine Systems and Equipment, Competitive Sales, Small Business Entrepreneurship, healthcare foundations, human resources foundations, competitive sales, and team leadership. And each of those have at least one or two classes within them that you can take during Winterum.
Hmm. It really seems like you guys worked hard to make a variety of fields available for this.
Yeah, exactly. And we've kind of talked a little bit about those Career Accelerator certificates before, and really they are focused short-term sprints that develop targeted real-world competency for career advancement. They're all embedded into our academic program, so they're a great way to get your toes wet and see if this type of program or field would be a good fit for you. Most of them can be completed in one semester or less, in person, online, hybrid. Many of those classes, like I said, do count towards an existing mid-state degree program.
Seems like something that not only has a wide range to it, but something that, boy, if you're looking at continuing your education or looking at, you have a second year, a third year of schooling, something to really dive into, right? The more you're talking about it, the more it seems like that.
And really, they're not just for people wanting to start a career or start their educational journey. They're for anyone that wants a career advancement. Say, we also have a social and mobile marketing one. Say, in your current position at your job, you want to improve in these skills because obviously social and mobile marketing, social media, things like that are just growing and growing with technology. So that's a great way to advance your skills as well, too.
And then, Elise, I want to get into why you should earn a certificate.
Yeah, like I said, it's a great way to really accelerate your career and get to that level in your current job or field of choice. Maybe it can help with an advancement. Maybe your job's offering tuition reimbursement. There's so many good options, and I did name only about 7 certificates that start in Winterum or have a class in Winterum, but we also have about 23 in total, really ranging across our 10 career clusters.
Can you tell me more about a few of these opportunities, especially the ones you can start?
Yeah, well, there's 2 specifically that I really wanted to touch on that I thought would really make an impact with the listeners today. So the Healthcare Foundation Certificate is our main one that's related to all of our health science fields. And it's really about if you have a passion for people and feel a calling to become a healthcare professional, but you don't really know where to start. It's a great way to test the waters in healthcare and get started toward your next career goal. You can gain foundational knowledge to work in the healthcare or continue your education in one of Mid-State's health programs. Like I said, a lot of these are good starting points. So you can learn to apply medical terms, the organization diseases of the human body, and effectively communicate with healthcare providers. There's a few classes you can take within, well, there's 3 classes you take within this, but one of them specifically during Winterum, medical terminology, culture of healthcare, and human body and health and disease. Medical terminology is offered online this Winterum for 3 weeks. In total, though, this certificate is 8 credits and can be taken online or in person in Marshfield, Stevens Point, or Wisconsin Rapids. And something I really wanted to point out, I've talked to a few of the instructors, and they stated that hospitals, clinics are willing to hire students simply with this certificate. It's a good gateway to get into a hospital, a clinic job in the healthcare field.
It seems like it. Now, what are some examples of the other classes available from the Winterum?
Yeah. Well, specifically for this one certificate, that midterm one, but we also have another one for a career accelerator certificate that you can complete the entire certificate during Winterum. It's that agricultural diesel engine systems and equipment. If you're interested in a hands-on career in the area of agriculture equipment and looking to learn the basics, this will be great for you. You can prepare to start your career with specialized skills when working on agriculture diesel engines and agriculture equipment. You'll learn equipment safety, rules of the road, selecting the proper equipment for the size and scope of your operation, and calculating costs associated with the equipment operation. You'll get a lot of hands-on learning with this class and certificate while learning the basics of fuel, exhaust, and electrical systems, as well as preventative maintenance of the agricultural diesel engines. This certificate is only 5 credits, and it would be in person in Marshfield. And you can keep going with this as well to earn an associate degree in agribusiness and science technology. So there would be those 2 classes, specifically like you asked, about what classes to take, basic agricultural, electrical, mechanical, and irrigation, and agriculture diesel engine systems. So those are both in person, but we have a ton of online options. Specifically, like we talked about with those transferable classes for students that are at universities, a lot of them will take college math, English composition, intro to sociology, intro to psychology, ethics, diversity studies. We have some Word, Microsoft, lots of business-related classes, but even you can even get started in civil engineering, highway technician. There's so many beginning points, this welding. I could go on and on.
I'm enjoying you going on and on because I didn't realize it was, I did a little homework on this beforehand. I didn't realize there was this many options for people.
Yeah. It's really great. There's a little bit of everything. General anatomy and physiology, basic anatomy, microbiology. Most of those classes you wouldn't think would be offered in 3 weeks, but they can be if you are goal-oriented and determined. If that is your main focus for 3 weeks, you can do it. Our instructors are so supportive.
And I have to say, this speaks to not only myself, but a lot of the people that I know growing up with, at least, that this is the way they like to learn. There's nothing wrong with taking your time or spreading these things out, but there are some people that time is of the essence. I want to get in there. I want to get in and out. I want to do this now. And this kind of program seems like it's really geared towards that.
Exactly. Spot on. Yep.
For people who want to get to know Mid-State better, are there some events coming up that we can tell people about?
Yeah, like I said earlier, a lot of our events were really happening in October and November, but we do have a few more. With popular demand, we brought a few back again this semester, so we're doing them more than once. So the first one being FAFSA Fill-In. Of course, this is really focused on financial aid and financial support. But if you are still thinking about wanting to get started in a program, there'll still be staff here that can help you apply, give you tours, talk about programs. So that's still a great event for that as well, too. But this will be on December 7th, coming up here from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Wisconsin Rapids or Stevens Point campuses. Parents are welcome to bring their kids who are in high school right now that might need help with that. Or if you're just thinking of coming back to school or already in the process, we can help. If really the main event highlights here, if you need help with those college and financial plans, financial barriers are among the top reasons students do not pursue or finish a degree. So don't let this happen for you, because you can attend this FAFSA Fill-In event and our Mid-State financial aid team can set you up for success. Like I said, it's designed to help high school seniors and their parents, along with those current Mid-State students or really any student that's ready to get started. If you want to learn more about those details, you can go to mstc.edu/calendar/all. So that'll really show you where all those events are. And I can repeat that too. That is mstc.edu/calendar/all. And you can simply search FAFSA Fill-In and it'll come up.
I really appreciate this about Mid-State so very much. No matter who joins us, I always like to make sure to reference this or talk about it at some point in the conversation. If you want an education, if you want to continue education or start a new career or any of the above, reach out to Mid-State and see if you can find a way, because chances are they will find a way to make things work for you. There's always so many different scholarships that people don't know about. There are so many different things available for you. Mid-State makes it really hard for you to have an excuse not to continue your education. it's very cool what you guys do over there.
Thank you.
I love talking to you. I could talk to you all day. I could talk to you about a million different things.
I love talking to you too.
I have to be honest with you, though. I have been a little distracted this whole conversation because I want to taco about it. I want a taco.
Yay,
about
I'm
it.
I'm so glad you bring that up.
Oh, this looks like a fun one, Elise. This looks fun.
It is. So we did this earlier this semester at the Rapids campus, and it was so popular. We had a lot of high school students come, but also students right out of college that still haven't really made that decision, or right out of high school, that haven't really made that decision yet in the last couple years of what they want to do yet. We've also had some adults there who are thinking of maybe a career change or just starting that educational journey. And it was an awesome event. Of course, talk about it. I mean, that doesn't sound cool or anything, right? But it's a special on-campus tour event to learn about Mid-State, explore programs, and eat tacos. Who doesn't love tacos? But we had a lot of instructors here that were able to kind of give some demonstrations, explain programs. Students were able to learn a lot that way. The next one, because of the popular demand, we are going to do one at the Stevens Point campus coming up on December 14th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. You can learn about Mid-State through a lively interactive tour. You can apply for free, get connected with college resources prior to high school graduation. Of course, if you're currently in high school, fuel your body with delicious tacos again. Mm-hmm. While you eat, get an overview of how to pay for college from Mid-State's financial aid and scholarship teams. Like you touched on, we have so many resources. We can tell you about our scholarships at Mid-State, in the community, online. We have some really great teams here that can help with that.
Absolutely. It is a really, you had us at tacos, of course. But in all seriousness, what we were just talking about with the financial concerns and everything, oftentimes the thing that holds people back from finding out about those things or scholarship opportunities is our pride and not, yeah. Feeling comfortable talking about money or talking about our financial situations. In an environment like that, where it's really just you're right in front of the person, you're not over the phone, you can make eye contact, and it makes it a little bit easier to have those conversations. So going to an event like this, not only are you going to get some tacos and have some fun, but you might end up being able to have that opportunity to have that one-on-one conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's networking too, of course, and those things.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And again, that is on December 14th from 4 to 7:30 p.m. You can call any Mid-State campus to help get registered, but also go to that mstc.edu/calendar/all or just go to our events page right on our main website, mstc.edu, and you can find it super easy. Search taco and it'll come up. I think that's the only thing that's on our website that would be related to tacos, so it'll definitely come up pretty easy.
Fantastic, Alicia. Thank you so much for that. Now, what do I need to get started on this?
Yeah, so specifically for me and my position, I am that Pathway Navigator Outreach Coordinator, so I am the first point of contact for students to get started. I work with all adults, no matter where you are in your life. One of the biggest things that is helpful for me, of course, if you are closer to being right out of high school, bringing your high school transcript is always really, really great to look at. We don't have any requirements to get into an academic program. All of our students really are able to get accepted as long as you have that high school diploma in most cases. And I like to look at your GPA, classes you've taken. It's a great way for me to get to know you, to see what your interests are, especially if you're undecided in a program. And if you've already have some college credit, you've already gone through a little bit of college or a bachelor's degree, an associate degree, I can take a look at those college transcripts to see what can transfer. Because odds are, if you have college credits, you definitely can transfer a lot of those in. So I really love going through that process with students. So always bring those old transcripts. Come with questions and ideas. I'm happy to help discover the best academic program for you. Whether you're undecided or not, we can tour. We can talk about those things. That's the best part. And I can really help you start everything else, applying financial aid, scholarships, scheduling those next appointments with your academic advisor, counselors, especially with resources here at the college, whether you might have a disability, need veteran benefits. We have everything here, and I'm really happy to make those connections for you.
Speaking with Alicia Sullivan, Adult Outreach Coordinator and Pathway Navigator with Mid-State Technical College. And Alicia, one of the things that I enjoy about talking with you and so many of the people at Mid-State, I hear it in your voice. You really do want to help people. You really do want people to be that bridge between them continuing their education or starting a new education or what have you. So it makes people, I can only imagine, makes people feel more comfortable and want to reach out and want to continue their education. But I always like to also mention, And I think you've mentioned this as well. All these things that we're talking about today, this program, are all great. If you just want to learn, if you just want to take a class or something like that, mm-hmm. Midstate has that available too. And there are financial opportunities when it comes to that as well. I think I focus myself too much on the whole, you know, 2-year, 4-year degree yep. kind of thing. There's plenty of other opportunities too for yeah. people out there. What Alicia is saying there too is so poignant. Bring those things to the conversation, your transcripts, that kind of stuff. It's only going to help you find out more, maybe more availability when it comes to scholarships or any other things.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think a lot of the times students coming here assume that they have to do a full program, but no one's telling you how to do things. There's so much flexibility. You can take one class if you want. You can take a class as if you're older, I think if you're older than 65, you can take a class for free. Really any class, as long as you meet those prerequisites. There's so many opportunities, especially with continuing education as well, too. So don't be afraid to reach out. I'm so happy to really share those options with you and see what would be the best fit.
And Alicia, is there any way that people can kind of like reach out to you and just ask some of these questions without necessarily going too far down the rabbit hole? You can just call up and I don't want to have like a million people calling you or just bugging you or whatever.
I would love that.
You're okay with that. All right.
If I get calls the rest of the day today, I will be happy. That's always the best. So I'll share a couple ways to reach out to me, whatever works best for you. The main three ways are my phone number, of course. My phone number is 715-422-5453. And my email is my first and last name, but it's A-L-L-Y-S-E, Elise, and then there's a period or a dot in the middle, and then Sullivan, S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N, at mstc.edu.
Appreciate that. And certainly want to encourage people to go to the website as well. mstc.edu is where you can find out more information about this. And as we let you go, Alicia, can we just mention one more time real quickly what the Winterium is?
Yeah. So Winterium is it's that Christmas break time. It's 3 weeks from January 3rd to January 19th where you can take a few classes or usually about 1 to 2. It's super fast paced, but it's really for those goal-oriented people that want to get a class done or two. Save some money, save some time in your other semesters, whether you are a university student who wants to take a class over winter break. If you are a current student wanting to take a class right now to lighten your other semester load during fall and spring, or if you're just an adult wanting to get started in an academic program, this is a really great starting point. And you still get Midstate's legendary support services during that time, just like any other year, too. So it's not any different.
Always appreciate the time. Always good to talk with you. You take care and have a good weekend.
Yes, it was so great talking to you, James. Thank you. You too.
We'll talk soon. Take care. We'll be back with more in part two of Morning Magazine coming up. Keep on listening, everybody, and more to come here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Quality Foods puts you first. No self-checkouts here. Get the groceries you want, bagged, and loaded in your car if you'd like. That's quality service from real people you can expect. Delivery and pickup are available at West Grand. Visit QualityFoodsWisRapids.com. Or if you can't order online, just call West Grand and they'll take it. Don't forget the deli for delicious meats, cheese, salads, and complete hot and cold meals. Quality Foods, West Grand and Baker Drive, locally owned and putting you and the community first.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
To the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe. Giraffe. Giraffe.
Gerard!
You're not gonna get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director James and head of production Seth will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Daytime highs approaching 31 this afternoon under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear skies tonight. Lows dip down to about 26. Daytime highs approaching 43. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 20. Saturday, under sunny skies. 33 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 15.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine, part two for this December 1st, 2022, 10:31 on the clock. I have your host, James, here, and we are joined right now by Allison Jajak, Cranberry Outreach Specialist with the University of Wisconsin-Madison Extension, Wood County. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning. Good to hear from you today.
Yeah, it's good to have you with us. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty wonderful. The weather has settled in, and life feels nice. Looking forward to the rest of December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially it's going to look a little like this or something. And certainly, you know, the weather plays a big part in, of course, our farming industry and certainly cranberry industry. So not a bad segue. Nicely done, Allison. That's I want to dive right into the research here. Now, there's been some new research, some conclusions from the research that has come up recently. What is the specific research and where did it come from?
So we actually do a lot of work at UW-Madison that's basically always being done on cranberries. We are one of, along with Massachusetts, New Jersey, Quebec, and then a little bit in the Pacific Northwest, we're one of the major growing regions. We're the largest growing region by barrels of production, and I believe by acres as well. And so at the UW, University of Wisconsin-Madison, at any given time, we have entomologists working on entomology research. We have physiologists working on physiology research. We've got pathologists working on disease prevention and a geneticist who's working on developing improved varieties. We've got a molecular biologist who helps out our plant physiologist working on nutrient availability, as well as how the plants grow. And so there's a lot going on all the time. I guess one that I'd like to focus on that we are, going in with the weather segue, our molecular biologist is Joshna Devi Mura, and then our plant physiologist is Amaya Atucha. And the two of them have been doing a lot of new research into how the cranberry plant goes dormant after harvest and going into the winter, and then how it emerges from dormancy after the winter. And so that's kind of a cool research question, you know, how do plants work, but also a directly applicable question for our growers, because as the plants go into dormancy, if the weather changes too abruptly, we can have crop loss or we can have damage due to frost. And so we, the growers want to have their irrigation systems ready. They want to be able to know if the temperature drops, by how big of a drop do I need to protect my crop? And that both for the fall and for the spring. And then that changes, you know, variety by variety. If you think of a Granny Smith apple, has different growing requirements from a Northern Spy apple, has different requirements from a Honeycrisp. And so some of these newer varieties, we've been treating them very conservatively, and we want to find out what are their actual bounds so that we can grow them most efficiently. So that's just one example of some of the cool stuff that's being worked on.
It's an incredibly cool example to bring up. Yeah, that, it's just fascinating to me. And it's an industry that I learn more about the more I get to talk to people like yourself. And Allison, when it comes to, because we all understand Mother Nature is queen. We can't defeat Mother Nature. We just do whatever she, you know, we work around her or do what she tells us to do, basically. But with our farming industry, with our ag industry and these crops, we're finding ways to work with her, to work with nature, to work around nature in some ways, but mostly to work with it and work with the times. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating to me to think that an industry that's been around so long, that has done such good work for so very long, you can find even more ways to not only improve the product, but to literally grow the product, grow the industry.
Yes. It is. It's really neat to me, and I think the most effective ways of growing crops, like you say, or working with nature. And I like to think of kind of the same setup. If you're, you know, if you're prepared, opportunities happen more often. But if you, you know, focus on your soil health and maintain strong, robust and healthy cranberry vines, they are able to weather the storms that Mother Nature will throw at you better. But even just for things like frost protection, historically, we've always been, you know, very conservative, and that just means waking up more often than not in order to turn on the irrigation for frost protection. And as we understand more and more, we can do a better job of finding out how much were we kind of overreacting or how much were we helicopter parenting those cranberries versus how much can they actually take just on their own without any intervention. So finding the sweet spot that gets us the best production with the least number of lost nights of sleep.
Yes, yes. Spectrum News One recently interviewed about the cranberry crops rebounding after a 2021 harvest, and Tom Lochner, a grower, had this quote: "It seems the crop here in Wisconsin has rebounded from a rather disappointing crop last year. We're expecting an average crop, which will be about 520 million pounds of fruit for Wisconsin." Lochner said that that's because the weather was much better to growers than last year in 2021. He continues, "As one grower told me, it's 85% of what happens out here is due to Mother Nature, and what growers can do is manage the other 15%. That's a very small window and a really tough kind of, just from an outsider looking in, not an easy thing to swing, especially when you have something as unpredictable as Mother Nature to work with. So it all the more adds to that research that you guys are talking about.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, we were glad to see the crop improve this year after last year. We had been really worried because one of the most unpredictable things Mother Nature can do is send hail. And we had hail really early in the year in May of 2022. And so there was a lot of concern that we might have lost to that hail, just like the physical damage might have damaged our buds or dropped our buds or the future blossoms. But we wound up recovering from that better than people expected. So that was very heartening.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a good story of the day right there, hearing that. And it wasn't, to be honest with you, it wasn't something that I had heard until this weekend when I was doing a little homework on for the interview here and came across this article. I find it really encouraging and hopeful to read something like that.
Yeah.
We mentioned the research and everything. What about the research roundtable?
So this is one of the coolest parts of my job as cranberry outreach specialist. I'm keeping that tight feedback loop between the growers who have questions and are facing challenges and, you know, hope for answers in order to help them do their jobs better, and then the researchers whose job is to understand, you know, the basics of nature, the basics of the plant, and how that can help growers. So my role is to help the researchers choose research projects that are going to be directly beneficial to the growers, and then also to, once the researchers have gotten those results, it's part of my job to help the growers understand and implement those results. And so one of the things that I, and the Cranberry Growers Association is a really strong tool that the growers use to interact with their university counterparts. So this existed even before I took this job, but I like to think that I've been making it, you know, better and more exciting, and we've had increased attendance and I like to hope improved the direction of the research projects.
Mm-hmm.
But after harvest each year, so harvest is usually finishing up by mid-October and give people a couple of, you know, maybe a week to catch their breath and put their hat back on. And in mid-November, we host a gathering, and these used to be hosted in Madison and all the growers had to drive down, but we now have them hosted at the Cranberry Research Station in Black River Falls. So both growers and researchers travel, and we're right on a marsh where we also have an 85-person classroom set up. So having all the growers who are interested, along with all the researchers and their grad students, come and talk about what did we see this year, what did we face, what questions did I have that I think are an answerable question, but that we don't right now have the answer to. And so this is where, you know, 2 years ago we heard the question of, you know, I think I'm being too conservative on my frost protection in the spring and in the fall. What can the plant actually handle? And so Dr. Atucha and Dr. Mura, you know, heard that question and wrote a grant proposal to study cranberry vines coming into and out of dormancy. And so now we're getting those answers to deliver. So similarly, this year we had a lot of discussion about, I guess one of the things that was a new insect pest called the blunt-nosed leafhopper, which vectors an incurable phytoplasma disease. So we had a lot of discussion about how to work on, how to prevent and protect ourselves against that insect. We had discussion about how cranberries manage dissolved water or dissolved oxygen in the water when they're under flood conditions. I'm just kind of looking over my my results of my poll at the end, because we you know broke up into groups and talked about what's most important and came up with priorities that the growers want the researchers to focus on.
It's a really cool idea, and I have to say right away, not only do I think and feel very confident saying that you're doing a great job and you're doing those things that you're hoping for there with the group and everything, but just as importantly, the idea that we're building this bridge more and more between science and the farmers, between your information and you guys at Extension and our ag industry, all these, the more conversation that's going on, the more shared information can only be the better for literally everybody.
Absolutely. That's having tight feedback loops is something that, you know, it helps us direct our research. It helps us implement our research. It helps everybody get better together as an industry, faster and stronger.
We're speaking with Alisa Johnjack, Cranberry Outreach Specialist with UW Extension. And Allison, we're going to talk about recipes in just a little bit. I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I also wanted to talk to you a little bit more about the 2022 harvest. All that coming up for and more on Morning Magazine right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Highs around 31 this afternoon under mainly sunny skies. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight, lows level off around 26. Highs level off around 43. Tomorrow, overcast skies. Bright sunshine expected Saturday with daytime highs approaching 20. 33 Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 17.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here for this December 1st, 2022. Have your host, James, and we are joined by Allison John Jack Cranberry, Outreach Specialist with UW Extension. And thanks again for being here, Allison.
Very glad to. Very glad.
I do want to apologize to you, Allison. I called you Elise earlier, Elise, because we just had Elise on earlier. For going forward here, no more of these people with names that are too similar to back to back interviews. We got to do something about that. We got to do. I'm just.
You can just call me Don Jack, and I'll roll with that.
Appreciate you. I want to get into the recipes thing. I'm looking forward to that. But before we do, I did see a recent article the other day about state cranberry growers expecting to produce more fruits in 2022. The USDA released its latest cranberry production estimates during Thanksgiving week, which noted that the Wisconsin growers harvested 4.3 million barrels in 2022. That is 3%. More than last year's harvest, even due to the colder weather and reports of hail damage that you touched on earlier. The total U.S. cranberry harvest is projected to be around 7.44 million barrels, although that was done, that number was before Thanksgiving, may have gone down a little bit now or gone up, who knows. I'm just kidding about that, but it is encouraging to see this information, Allison.
Yes, we're very grateful, and you know, as you kind of as you alluded, there are what sounds to a bystander like 3% down. That's not that much, but 2021 was demoralizing for growers. We felt like we had put in a lot of strong effort, and weather just didn't warm up our days enough for us. Didn't get us enough accumulated time to size up the fruit, and so we produced. Less than we wanted to in 2021. 2022 is better again. We had the ability to fill out our fruit in that late summer period. We did actually find across a lot of the central part of the state, some growers had what would have been a pretty significantly large crop in terms of number of berries, but only 80% of those berries sized up like normal. And so we had several small berries, which are, still, of course, just as good for cranberry sauce and just as good for juice. And they colored up well, and they still had good anthocyanin content. And anthocyanins are the antioxidants or the cancer-preventing elements in cranberries. They still came out to good quality, but we were surprised by the smallness. And so we wondered if our pollinators got distracted, or we're still trying to figure out what the cause for that was. But even with that, we did have a very strong crop this year. We're sitting right at our average, or what we expect to produce.
You know, you mentioned a new insect issue, and you mentioned that right there. And I think on average, most of us at the top of our head can imagine some of the difficulties that cranberry growers face. So it's really helpful, I think, talking about these things and getting it to be a little bit more in the ether, in the common knowledge kind of thing. It helps us understand a little bit more of the industry and maybe be a little more supportive of the industry. If not to say we're not already, but can always use a little bit more.
I agree. Yeah, I think in general, when people understand how many factors a farmer is paying attention to on a day-to-day basis, you can start to have an appreciation. A lot of people will drive by a farm and say, oh, that looks very peaceful and relaxing, unaware that the person in the tractor cab or the person holding the insect sweep net is actually, you know, thinking at the very fastest they can think and trying to come up with solutions to all these problems that you just don't notice exist as you're just driving by. So there's always a lot going on.
And, you know, I think a lot of people out there can empathize with our growers, with our farmers out there. And there's only, you know, it gets a little daunting because, well, how can we help? We're not growers. We're not, you know, other than certainly buying cranberries and buying Wisconsin cranberries and Wisconsin products. I think that one of the things that you can do to help is certainly understanding the industry a little more and having a little more empathy towards what it is to be in that industry.
Definitely so, and we're always grateful too that the Cranberry Festival in Warrens, when people, and there's also a Cranberry Festival in Stone Lake, Wisconsin, and also in Eagle River, people feeling like this is our state, this is our, you know, this is an industry that that gives to our state, and we can give back to the industry, and feeling connected with it, inviting out of town friends up to come to those events and tour cranberry marshes, I guess like a feeling of ownership and mm-hmm. just kind of, you know, Wisconsin pride, because this is something, Wisconsin is the top producer in the world of cranberries. We produce more than 60% of the annual cranberry crop, and, you know, feeling proud of that and you know, putting cranberries on your table at Thanksgiving and Christmas, but also putting cranberries on your table in February. And, you know, when you have out-of-town guests or out-of-town family, out-of-state family members, just saying, hey, yeah, this is Wisconsin. We've got cheese and we've also got cranberries.
You know, and it's all the more reason why not only do we have the Wisconsin Cranberry Research Station, but the importance of that station and how beneficial the information coming from there is.
Yes, very much so. For a long time, there were cranberry research stations in Massachusetts and in New Jersey, even though Wisconsin produced the most cranberries. And everyone's growing conditions are a little bit different, and having research that was done in New Jersey, where they don't have as cold of a winter, so they tend to have a lot of fungal disease issues that we don't have, because we have a good, strong winter that kills a lot of fungal spores and bacterial pathogens. So they invested a lot in research that wasn't super super germane to us. And now that we have this research station here in Wisconsin, we can really focus on Wisconsin's biggest issues.
Mm-hmm. Well said. All right, let's have some fun. Allison, let's get into some recipes. I know that was something new you wanted to discuss as well.
Awesome. Yeah, so I just, as it wraps into Christmas, I just want to give my my standard favorite John Jack family cranberry sauce recipe, and that is 1.5 cups of water and 1.5 cups of sugar, and put those on your stove at a simmer and let them turn into a simple syrup, you know, equal parts sugar and water, a cup and a half. And then once those are boiling at kind of a light, you know, just getting bubbles in the surface of the water, then add 4 cups of frozen cranberries. You can also do fresh. My family grows, my parents have a cranberry marsh, and so we just take, 500 pounds that we would otherwise put on the semi-truck and just put them direct in our freezer instead and then use those throughout the year. Take 4 cups of frozen cranberries and put those in on top of your, large saucepan that has this layer of sugar and water boiling, and then reduce the heat down to medium and then let those cook for about 40 minutes without stirring. And the secret is to not stir. And so you reduce the heat. If it looks like it's going to boil over, you can pull the pot off and maybe try a larger pot next time. And then watch them and smell them as they cook. And as they start to turn that deep purple and you just start to smell a hint of caramel, then pull them off. And people have different preferences for whether they like them more tart or more caramely. If you have guests with more of a sweet tooth, cook it for longer and you'll get more and more of the caramel smell. So that's very easy, 1.5 cups of sugar, 1.5 cups of water, and 4 cups of cranberries. And then I'll let you, I don't know what people's standard uptake, if they're writing recipes down or if you want to ask a question, and I'll talk about the newest cranberry. So that's my first cranberry recipe ever. And then the newest one I just tried this year, I'll also share.
I apologize, Elisa. Allison, my professionalism is out the window. My mouth is watering. I'm too hungry. Can you do the rest of the take us right out to the top? Because I can't think. All I can think about is cranberries and how badly I want them. No, that does sound really good. That sounds very good.
No, it's delicious. So the newest one that I had not tried before, it was like a cranberry vanilla coffee cake. And so if you take your standard coffee cake recipe, so it's like, a 1¾ cups of sugar and 2 cups and a smidge of flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 3/4 teaspoons of salt, and then a stick plus a tablespoon of butter, 2 eggs, and 1/2 cup of whole milk. So kind of in whatever, I know I said that quick, so whatever vanilla coffee cake you like, and you can blitz up some vanilla bean with the sugar to make it vanilla sugar. But then fill the pan halfway with your coffee cake recipe, and then we're going to add this cranberry filling. And so this cranberry filling we'll make by pulsing frozen cranberries again. You can also do fresh, but 2 cups of cranberries with 1/2 cup of vanilla sugar, and pulse them into kind of a, don't take it as far as a paste, but make them like little small bits, and then spread that cranberry and vanilla sugar paste at the top layer of your cake, and then put another half of your cake batter, and then go ahead and bake that. My standard recipe is about 40 minutes in an oven at 350, and I was really pleased with just the very simple, direct, just plain cranberries in the middle of a coffee cake.
Mm, man, does that sound good. Oh, that sounds so good. That is good. Is that a go-to for you and your family, making that?
That one's actually new. I have a lot of go-tos. I've got a cranberry cake with caramel sauce. I've got, cranberry sauce is just the classic. But I always try and make at least one or two new recipes each year. And when something becomes a winner, maybe it replaces one of the old standards.
Right.
Because you always want to try new things, and entertaining is more fun when you're learning.
It's very well said. You're so right about that. And Allison, one of the things that I really love about cranberries is the versatility of them. There's so much you can do with them. It's why we keep coming up with new, recipes or new ways to incorporate them into our food or our desserts. I did come across one that I haven't gotten to try, but I'm going to be smart about this. I'm going to do this with my mom because she is the actual cook. I can do little loose things like Italian foods and stuff, and that's about it. So I'm going to go to her with this one. It's a cranberry curd. Have you heard of that before?
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, I would like to hear this, though.
It's
like lemon curd, but with cranberries. So that sounds like two things that I really love.
Oh, right on. Yes. know your audience. That's what this is about. It is very similar to that. You're absolutely right. It's a cranberry curd in a seasonal spin on the traditional lemon curd. If you prefer a smoother texture, you can press the cranberry mixture through a fine mesh. Otherwise, you can eat it just like you would a normal curd. It's only about 10 minutes. About 10 minutes to prepare, about 20 minutes to cook. You get about 16 to 17 servings out of this, and the ingredients are so simple. It's 1 12-ounce bag of fresh cranberries, Wisconsin cranberries, I'll say, a 3/4 mm-hmm. cup of water, a 1/2 cup of white sugar, 3 egg yolks, and 2 tablespoons of butter, and a partridge in a pear tree. No, not that last part. Not a lot of ingredients it takes to make this, and it's a really simple kind of curd. If you've made curds before, it looks very, very similar to just making how you would make a normal curd.
Okay. That sounds really delicious. It turns out I'm going to try 2 new recipes.
I think a great way to do this, especially with this an audio medium and everything, if you go into your search bar and you type in cranberry curd, you will probably come across a similar recipe, if not the same recipe that I had. And I would say the same thing about what Allison was suggesting. Otherwise, all of our shows are podcasted, so you can go right to civicmedia.us and go ahead and listen to our podcast. And that way you can pause and rewind all you need to write these instructions down or any of that kind of thing.
Excellent thought. That's definitely helpful. I was not fast enough to put down how many egg yolks that was. So
I didn't mean to spin through that as fast as I did. Let me go. Let me do that one more time. It is a 12-ounce bag of fresh cranberries, 3/4 cup water, 1/2 cup of white sugar, 3 egg yolks, and 2 tablespoons of butter.
All right.
Next time we get together, we got to compare and see how this one turned out.
Happily. I'm looking forward to it.
Allison, we really do enjoy talking with you and all of our friends from Extension. If people have follow-up questions, would like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, can they reach you?
Yeah, absolutely. It's allison.johnjack, allison.johnjak, at wisc.edu is the fastest way. And then we also put a lot of publications out at fruit.wisc.edu. There's a cranberry crop management journal if people want to get into the brass tacks of agronomy. But otherwise, yeah, I'm happy to field questions anytime.
Always appreciate the time, Allison. Thank you so much. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. And stick around, everybody. We got more great content coming up here at the station. Of course, tomorrow we'll wrap up Morning Magazine for the week. In part one, we'll have State Assembly District 72 Representative Scott Krug. And then in part two, we'll wrap up with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids.